I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome to Cosmopolitans All The Way With. I'm Paisley Gilmore.
And I'm Laura Capon. And this week we're joined by Alex Light, journalist, body confidence and anti-diet advocate.
Is this one of your mates, Elsie?
Finally, yes.
Elsie's got a mate.
I love Alex. I'm sure a lot of people will know her from Instagram. And I just think she is just... Especially over lockdown, she has been a beacon of hope and light.
Oh, nice. Cool.
I know, a bit cringe before you go. Don't tell her I said that.
No, no,
she,
we won't.
She thinks I'm creepy enough.
Yeah, no, be cool when she joins us, if you can.
So I wanted to ask you something before we get Alex on.
Yeah.
There's something that I keep seeing going around, and I saw it where I see everything. Basically where I learn, not books, but TikTok.
Okay.
And someone was talking about how Gigi Hadid and Zayn are twin flames.
Right.
And they were just saying they're twin flames and that basically you can't recreate that. And I was like, what the hell is a twin flame?
So you hadn't heard of it before that?
No, never. And it just sounded, I was like, is this just cool? But now I keep hearing it. It's like, you know, you hear it once and you're like, oh, and again.
Yeah, and then you hear it popping up everywhere. It's like the number 44. you see it everywhere, don't you?
I don't know.
Yeah, I do. it's always on the tube. Really good question, actually, because I recently only learned about it because back at the start of lockdown when we could still go on outdoor dates, I met this girl and she mentioned it and she was like, oh, there's this thing called twin flames. And I was like, what? And got her to tell me everything about it.
So is it a new thing?
No, it's really old. But I think people just are talking about it more recently because Megan Fox also mentioned it publicly. So I think it's like, oh, you know, people love to buy into bullshit.
Who's her new boyfriend? What's his name? Machine Gun Kelly?
I don't know who that is, but apparently he's her twin flame.
Okay, so,
I wanted to say, I'm actually going to draw this information because I found out what it was. I commissioned Marianne, who joined us on one of our other podcasts about autism, to write a piece about
it. Marianne.
Yeah. So she's done a deep dive and I'm actually just going to quote her from her piece because she did a really good job. So it's not a soulmate.
Okay.
Soulmate, I guess, is the concept of you share the same energy, whereas a twin flame is literally the other half of your soul. So the history of it is like apparently a soul can split into two after ascending to a high frequency and then landed in two separate bodies, and that's what your twin flame is.
Do you know what? I can just hear James, our producer, in my head.
So what do you think he'd be saying?
Gibberish. That, no, I can't think of the word he always uses it, but he...
Bobbins.
Yeah. That's it.
Gibberish was close.
Okay, yeah. So your soul splits into two. I know that some people do really believe this, so I don't want to appear offensive.
No, well, they're more than welcome to believe it. But so in the piece, Marianne spoke to a couple of different experts. And so Annabelle Knight, who's a sex and relationship expert at Love Honey, she says she thinks that they are real, but that you can find them in platonic relationships. Whereas Marianne also interviewed another sex and relationship expert called Lucy Rowett, who says that we should be really wary of it. And it's actually quite a controversial concept.
So would your twin flame, I like the idea that it could be platonic.
Mm-hmm.
Is the idea then they're really similar to you because you're the same soul?
Yeah. So apparently some of the signs that you've found your twin flame include, you ready? Yeah. Increased synchronicity in your life. For example, like seeing the numbers 11-11. What did I say about 44? Intense sex.
Okay, it's all right. Carry on. And
a deep knowing. So it's like...
That's so vague. A deep knowing.
I know. But the reason that people say it's controversial is because it's like saying this other person completes you. Do you know what I mean? Like, they are your other half.
Yeah,
you are not a person without them.
It's like the one thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To me, but more extreme. Like, yeah. The one on crack.
Twin flames is the one on crack. Got it. Well, so Lucy Rowe, I really liked this quote. She said, people who believe in twin flames, you need to be careful because, she said, you are putting an unhealthy and unrealistic expectation on your partner with an assumption that they will fill every emotional need because they're the other half of your soul. So fine to believe it, but just don't expect them to literally complete your life.
I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got a twin flame. From that, do you think you've got... I mean, I'm not having intense sex with anybody right now, so. How about you?
I'm having intense sex, but I don't believe in twin flames.
Without your twin flame. God. Imagine if you had twin flames watching. They'd be cheering you on, though.
Yeah, they would. But you get in there, girl. I think it's a nice idea, but when you drill down into it, it's a little bit like...
Yeah. I love the name. It's a cool name and it's a cool concept. But
it's not for you.
No, I just think it's just like the one, and I just think really one person.
Yeah, I mean, it's unrealistic.
Is that did you when you did the piece or Marianne? Are there any tips on finding your twin flame?
I can't remember. You'll all have to head to the Cosmo website. Google.
If you just go to cosmopolitan.com/UK.
Or Google Cosmopolitan UK twin flames, you'll find a wonderful explainer on it. And I don't know, I think it's really interesting.
I'm going to ask Alex if Dave, her fiancé, is her twin flame.
Oh, if he isn't, the relationship's got to end.
That'd be awkward, yeah. We're joined today by Alex Light, a journalist whose mission is to make women feel good about their bodies. As well as hosting her own podcast, The Light Show, Alex uses her Instagram to talk about everything from eating disorder recovery to how weight and body image is portrayed in the media.
Just as a warning, the following conversation includes discussions around eating disorders.
Hi, Alex. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. Oh, I'm so excited to join you. Absolutely delighted. And it's nice that we get to chat as well. I haven't seen you for so long.
For once, I get to have one of my friends on here.
I'm so
buzzing.
Jealous. I now know how you feel every week when I'm like, and here's a dominatrix I know. I'm jealous of you guys.
So to kind of talk a bit about you, Alex, can you describe your relationship with your body confidence in conjunction with your dating history?
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to like body confidence and my eating issues, and I'm often asked like this, you know, the story and like how I got to where I am and stuff, and I always find it really hard to piece things together looking back, I guess, because when you go through an eating disorder and things like that, it kind of feels like a whirlwind. But actually, dating wise, it's pretty straightforward, because I was in a relationship for 10 years and it was kind of during those 10 years that I was in the thick of my eating disorders and facing quite a big battle in that sense. And I was actually on my way to recovery. At least I was receiving professional help for the second time, and it seemed to be having more of an impact than the first time. And I was kind of making good progress when we broke up, which kind of threw a spanner in the works. The entirety of my first relationship was dominated by these eating disorders, which I feel might have left me a little bit vacant in that relationship, which is obviously a shame. But yeah, things ended up getting better. But basically, yeah, when I broke up with Benny, who was my first boyfriend after 10 years, it kind of put me back a bit in terms of like body confidence and eating.
Wow, 10 years as well is such like a long time. Were you in your 20s then?
I was 29, nearly 30.
Saturn return. Have you heard of this?
No.
Have you heard of it, Elsie?
No.
Oh, it's a big astrological moment in your life where Saturn returns to the position it was where you were born. And that's usually around 29-30. And people say it can time with like a big thing happening in your life. So whenever something happens at 29, I'm like, it was your Saturn return.
I love that. Really? Alex hates horoscopes.
Oh, Alex, I'm so sorry.
Me I trying to get in with me, Laura.
No, wait, because there's something that we've added in. Don't be scared, but it's a question about twin flames, and I just realised you're going to hate She's that as well.
Oh my God, I don't even know what that means.
Oh, I'm so sorry, no, I'm trying not, to be cool.
I don't know. No, I appreciate it. I need to learn a bit more about this stuff, but I don't actually know. I don't even know what star sign Dave is. Well, I couldn't even tell you. My current boyfriend, I don't even know.
That's so
I barely
refreshing.
Know what mine is.
I thought it was really interesting what you said about your eating disorder, though, because I guess it isn't like linear as well. That's one thing I've really learned from following you, how you say it's like, I guess people think, oh, you have an eating disorder and then you recover and then it's gone. And it's not like there's like, obviously, would you call it not rebounding, but relapsing? Would you say relapsing?
Yeah, relapsing. Yeah.
So after you went through that kind of breakup, how did that impact your body confidence and eating disorder?
Oh my God, massively, like hugely, because my eating problems and my body confidence has always been really like tied up with my mental health and my mental like stability, which is something that I actually only kind of realized recently. But when I'm not feeling good or my anxiety is super high or I'm just not feeling kind of very stable and grounded, I guess. One of my coping mechanisms, which is like ironically like the worst way to cope, so it doesn't make any sense at all, but one of my coping mechanisms is to like channel that into my body and my eating. So I start to obsess with weight and food and what I eat and how I eat. So basically, while, you know, I was making the progress and then we broke up and it completely set me back. And I felt like I was so consumed with the breakup and what was happening and feeling like my life had just turned upside down out of nowhere. Because this wasn't a sort of planned or, you know, it wasn't a breakup that I knew was about to happen. I just felt like I was so consumed with that and trying to sort of piece my life back together, or that's how it felt, that I didn't have the energy to A, recognize what was going on with the eating disorder, or B, stop it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was just too, you know, single track mind with like breakup and where do I go from here? And oh my God, what just happened? So yeah, I really let things slip in terms of my progress.
And were you kind of, did you get back into dating straight away? Because I know, like, I'm awful. I date the second I've broken up with someone to distract myself. Were you like that? Were you like, no, I'm going to give it a rest? Or
no, I was the same, honestly, right? So, and this is like how I see it now is that, so when we broke up, when Benny and I broke up, and Laura knows this, but it was because he was gay. So he came out to me and we broke up. Mm-hmm. Because he's gay. But then I was like, the only boyfriend I've ever had, like I've been with, you know, a man who was gay for 10 years. Like I've never, ever dated a straight man. And my mind started to like go to weird places where I was like, and this sounds crazy now, I know, but this is kind of a mix of like my anxiety and just things going on. But I kind of thought that like maybe I wasn't like interested in straight men because I'd never been really attracted to anyone while we've been together. So I was like, oh God, like I need to start dating and like know that there's life after this and that I'm going to, everything's going to be okay and I'm going to be attracted to people, you know, that Benny wasn't the my be all and end all kind of thing, which is, I guess, until that point, how I'd always felt. So I threw myself into dating and I was like, I just have to do this and I'm going on Bumble straight away and I'm just going to try and date. And I met Dave really quickly.
I think I need to be more like you two, because I will mourn someone for years.
Will you?
I will. I like, and in my head, it's so romantic. And no, it's just weird. Do you know what I mean?
So you feel like you can't sort of get back on the horse?
Yeah, because I'm always like, oh, what if they like turn up at my house? No one's turned up.
Yeah,
not yet.
Yeah.
Don't pace because that's what I'll cling on to.
I think I just heard a knock.
It's him.
Any minute now. So when you met Dave, who you're with now, how did that kind of change? Because were you still in the thick of your eating disorder when you met him?
Basically, when I split up with Benny, then I kind of began the descent back into like full-blown eating disorder, and I'd started restricting again and also purging. So I became a bulimic again, and I lost weight quite quickly. And I want to caveat with this, with like, the weight loss gave me a sense of confidence, but it was the wrong sense of confidence. It was a false sense of confidence, because I didn't have any real confidence, but it was like what I call eating disorder confidence. And anyone who's had an eating disorder will know, like, the high you get from losing weight buoys you in every sense. But it was the wrong kind of confidence.
I guess like a bit of a facade kind of thing. Like,
totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And that kind of feeling, those kind of feelings make you like believe the eating disorder is worth it. But I don't want to like trigger anyone that's listening, because it's absolutely not worth it. Yeah. So I kind of, continue this descent into like the full blown eating disorder. And I was enjoying keeping it from everyone, which is another weird thing that people with eating disorders will understand. It's like this feeling that it's like your secret best friend. But I was starting to regain the energy and the strength to fight back against it. And that coincided with him kind of finding out and me telling him and revealing all to him, which I think was like a really pivotal moment for me in terms of actual recovery. It wasn't, until a while after that moment that I did actually, get to a point where I can be like, I'm recovered. But I think that was a pivotal moment for me, which was, when he found out.
Is it something that you tried to kind of keep to yourself for as long as possible then? Is it like really, really hard to talk about with a partner?
Yeah. And I mean, at that time, like, this is sort of 3.5 years ago, and I was still really, I was kind of talking about it online, but not really. And I wasn't fully invested in eating disorder recovery. And I was still kind of full of guilt and shame around my eating disorders at that point. And I very much lived the stigma, that eating disorders come with, that it's a vanity illness, which I absolutely do not believe or buy into now. And as Laura knows, I actively try and break down that stigma. But at the time I was really scared, and I genuinely thought he was going to leave me when he found out, which is crazy to say now, because I think that says more about the partner than you if they leave you for you being honest and open about your mental illness. But the place I was at, I was really convinced that he wasn't going to want to sort of continue with the relationship. So when he found out, I was terrified, like really scared. Like I said, like looking back, it was probably one of the best things I ever did. And it really, I was surprised by his kind of emotional intelligence, because men do have body confidence issues and they do have eating disorders. And that's another stigma that needs breaking down as well. But the prevalence isn't as high as in women, and therefore that's to do with diet culture and a lot of the pressures that women face from society. So I didn't expect him to understand, and I don't think he fully understands, but he was really like caring and supportive and gave me time and space and also the push I needed to seek help again and finally sort of help kick this thing to the curb.
I feel like Dave always seems like, I feel like I know him, I've never met him.
Such a creep.
What were you saying at the beginning? Just be cool.
Be cool, Laura.
But I feel like he's really willing to learn. Like, often he'll talk about it. And I know he said, I'm sure he said that he's never struggled with kind of body confidence. So it's one of those things that is a bit like mental health. Some people who've never kind of, have always had quite, a-okay mental health, it is kind of hard to wrap your head around a little bit, because it's like, well, I feel fine all the time.
exactly. Yeah. And I don't think I'm as like emotionally intelligent as that, because I think it takes a lot to like put yourself in someone's shoes when you haven't experienced it, doesn't it? It really does. It takes a lot to empathize. I was quite impressed by that, but then also it makes me think that we don't give boys we don't give men enough credit in general. We think they're not gonna be able to stand that, so they're just gonna be sort of stupid around it and just say idiotic things all the time. But I think there are good men out there who understand.
Where are they? asking for a friend, Elsie. I was just thinking as well, with dating and dating someone new, like, isn't so much of it built around, like, going out to eat and, like, cooking for each other and yeah. stuff? And is that a hard thing to navigate?
Yes. So hard. And it was hard because bulimia is one of those illnesses where, like, things quickly spiral out of control, and you tell yourself that every day that you're going to stop, like, tomorrow I'm going to stop and I won't do it tomorrow, and you set boundaries for yourself, like, I will only do it at home. Like, that's how it starts, at least for me, when the relapse starts. It's like, I will only do it at home, I would never do it out. And one of my boundaries, my limits was like, I would never do it around Dave. But obviously you lose control over it, and I was kind of shocked at myself for, like, I began to do it when I was with him too, because we were eating out, and it's just, yeah, it's you end up kind of losing control. So that was really hard as well, because, like you said, like, dating's all about food. It really is. It's all about food, and especially add alcohol on top of that, and, like, you lose your inhibitions in eating disorder sense as well as, like, the other senses, and you just, yeah. So it was really hard to navigate that. Yeah, it was quite difficult, which I think is why I ended up telling him quite early, because I think it became quite clear. Yeah, but God, yeah, bulimia is a horrible illness. Just, like, it's one that you feel like you have control of, like, you feel you feel like the purging gives you a sense of control, but you soon realise that it's not in your hands anymore. Sorry, that got really deep. I'm so sorry.
No. We appreciate it.
Super intense. So after telling him, was it, like, a huge weight off your mind? And then did you start to kind of go back into recovery?
It was such a weight off my mind, because prior to that, like, even though I'd spoken about it on Instagram and I had, like, a fair few followers at that point, but at that time I was still really secretive about it with the people in my life. I don't know, it's really strange, but and I've always felt like this, that, like, online, even though you're speaking to lots of people, it doesn't feel as personal or as intimate.
And I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Mm.
Yeah, I've shared stuff before. Like, I shared about my health anxiety, and I never even had that conversation with my sister.
Really?
And then she watched a video and was like, I can't believe you never told me. And then you feel like, oh, that's, yeah, why didn't I? Why?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's, not? Yeah, maybe because it's, you don't get to see everyone's, I don't know what it is, but
it's,
I know what
personal.
You mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess you know that people out there are going to feel the same, whereas I don't know, it's really, it's so strange, but I was exactly the same, and I just, yeah, I'd told people online, but, like, I hadn't told any of my friends. I'd never had an open conversation about it with any of my friends, any of my sisters. My mum knew, and my dad, but that was kind of it. So to actually tell someone, especially someone that I just basically, you know, like, 4 months ago, I'd only just met him. And it was really weird then to, like, open up about this, like, deepest, darkest secret. But it was so, like, so liberating. And there's a quote that I'm going to absolutely butcher. There's no point in even trying, actually. I can't
noise, but it's like, my Marilyn, like, Monroe.
Probably. But it's basically like, you know, the secret, this, it holds this power over you, and once you let it go, it releases, that power is released, and you no longer feel behest to this horrible secret. And that's what it felt like. It's you know, when people say weight off my chest, it's literally how it felt. And, you know, a problem shared is not, you know, it's not a problem halved, but it helps. It definitely helps, like, unburden and take the pressure off. And that's why, like, I encourage now people to tell their partners, whoever they're with, to, you know, to tell them what's going on with them. And they can either help them, you know, get help and seek help and reach out to professionals, or just to take the pressure off of keeping it all inside into yourself. And also, when you've only got this going on in your own head, it's really hard to zoom out and, like, see the woods for the trees, and things become big, and it's big and scary. And when you actually tell someone,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And it just feels like you can maybe gain a bit of perspective and a bit of insight as to what to do next, if that makes sense.
What tips do you have for people that are struggling with body confidence when dating, especially because online dating is so looks dependent now?
God, it is, isn't it? It really is. And you know what? This is like one of the main things, and I get asked this a lot, like, please talk about it on Instagram, because a lot of my followers have real struggles with this and real issues. And I want to caveat this all with, like, I don't want to sound patronizing, because I don't really have experience with this, because, you know, I only had one date before I met Dave, so I can't pretend to be like fully experienced with it. And I was, you know, suffering with an eating disorder at the time. But from the conversations that I've had with some of the girls that follow me and my friend who's online dating and kind of struggling with it, I've learned quite a few things which are helpful. But I think a really good place to start, which is like hands down easier said than done, I know this, but I think it's so important to work on some kind of self-acceptance and sort of making peace with yourself and with who you are right now, and not thinking, I'll start dating when I lose a stone or whatever it may be, or when I change this, or when I get my teeth whitened or whatever. I think it's really important to make peace with yourself and be as comfortable with yourself as you can be. You know, I don't know if you guys agree with me on that, but I feel like that gives you a more solid base for rejection, which is ultimately going to happen, because it happens, you know, it happens to people who look like whatever, you know, however you look, it happens, because that's what online dating is like, right? You know, rejection happens no matter what shape or size you are, and people are rejected left, right and center with online dating, because it's such a shallow, look centered world where people say yes or no like that, like super flippantly, you know. So I think if you can build like a solid foundation and base in yourself to, you know, when you make peace and accept who you really are, then the rejection, you know, that inevitably does come for everyone, is going to be sort of easier, and you're able to pick yourself back up quicker. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's really refreshing, actually, for you to say that everyone gets rejected, because I really I feel like Paisley, you're better than, I feel like you don't struggle with this, you're just too cool.
Yeah, but I don't date men. That's why I'm safe.
But I really struggle with it. Like, I don't really date because of this fear. Like, I just always imagine, like, you know, that thing of when you meet them for the first time and they just like lick you up and down, and like, just, you know, when you just see someone's face, that's always in my head what I just imagine, like them just looking at you being like, oh. And because of that, I just don't do it.
But is that the biggest thing that kind of stops you then?
Yeah. I never told you that, have I?
No.
I feel like I've told you most things. But I just have that in my head all the time. But it's true. You could be rejected for anything. And I guess it's just the thing you're insecure about. And definitely what you said about, because I feel like, especially like this year with COVID, I don't know about anyone else, but I feel like I love that post you did, Alex, about gaining weight in COVID, because I feel like in my head I was like, yeah, I'm going to come out of COVID and I'm going to look like Adele, and I'm going to have this like transformation. It's like, I'm going to come out of COVID looking exactly the same, paler and sweatier.
You know, this is this isn't
what I planned. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I've waited my entire life for a glow up, and it's like, at what point are you just like, look?
I know, and it's so true. And everyone carries that thing of like, oh, I'll do that when I've lost this, or when I, you know, everyone has that thing. And actually, at what point do you kind of just say, well, am I allowed to swear on here? I'm sure I could, but I just want to check. Where you do say, like, fuck it, I'm just going to be who I am and accept who I am, and, you know, and stop myself from feeling this constant pressure and this constant feeling like I can't get on with my life as I am right now because I'm waiting to become a version, you know, for that glow up, or to become a better, in air quotes, version of myself. And just, you know, life is, like I always say, that like, life is waiting for you right now. It's there and you're living it right now, and it doesn't start when this happens or that happens. But I wanted to say on that, on the dating thing, and that's what actually someone said to me, a girl I remember saying to me, that online dating, she likes to put pictures like as reflective of her as they are. And I think that's actually interesting, because everyone thinks, oh, you could put up like photos where, you know, just photos of my face or where I look skinnier, but actually that is only going to increase your anxiety. If you feel that there's a disparity between you and what you look like in real life and your photos, that's just going to increase your anxiety for kind of meeting face to face. And, you know, agreed. I think, of course, like, you know, like hair and makeup, why not? You do you, do whatever you want. But, you know, I think you don't need extra anxiety ahead of meeting. So if you, you know, just, do you agree with that as well?
I do. I purposely put up quite bad pictures because I just think, like, there'll be a nice one, but then in between there'll be like one of me like not looking my best, because I just think balance, you know?
Yeah,
I
definitely.
Do that too, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah, because I'm like, everyone always says to me, oh my God, you're much better in real life. And I'm like, set the bar low, and then when you meet me, you'll be surprised.
love it.
So that's the plan.
But it takes away the pressure on you, doesn't it? I feel like, yeah, knowing that you know that there is, you know, you look like you do in the photos. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You said about like kind of accepting yourself. How do you even begin that process? I know it's such a big question, but like, what's your advice for that?
It's such a big question, and it's, oh God, it, I feel like people say to me all the time online, like, how do I feel better about my body, like how do I get body confident and practice self-acceptance, acceptance. I'm like, oh my God, I wish I like had a magic wand, or at least like a magic answer. I could be like, do this and you will love your body. But I think it would be a good idea to maybe like manage expectations, as in don't think that you need to get to a place where you absolutely love your body, because that is not accessible and not realistic and achievable for so many people, just because of the world that we live in and how we've been brought up. I think that's a really, really hard thing, and that can kind of set expectations too high. So I think if you can imagine getting to a place where you're at peace with your body, you know, we hear a lot about body neutrality, just accepting your body how it is, and you know, don't have to wake up and say, God, I love my stomach and I love my legs. You don't, I mean, that would be fantastic, but you don't necessarily need to get there. I think if you can get to a point where you see your body for what it is, just like a, you know, a vessel to help you navigate the world, and allow you to navigate the world. But I think, and I recommend this a lot, because social media is such a huge part of our lives. It's sad, but it's true. So I think if you can make your social media world the most positive, uplifting space that you can, and showcase all kinds of shapes, sizes, bodies, you know, everything across the board, and just make it as diverse as you can, and start to appreciate the beauty in all different kinds of shapes and sizes, because there is beauty in all different kinds of shapes and sizes, not just the, you know, the typical model that we're used to seeing in the media. Like, that's a lie, and it's conditioning that's made us believe that that's the only type of beautiful, that's the only standard of beautiful, and it's just not. And I think the more people you see, and the more people you see who look like you as well, who have a body like you, a shape and a size like you, and if you, you know, you see them, and especially the ones that are really confident with it on Instagram, and they're proud of their bodies, like, that's going to help you see the beauty in yours and then begin to become proud of yours. Because if you can look at someone who looks like you and say, well, I like their body but I don't like mine, well, then there you go, that's the kind of proof that there's something going on in your mind rather than your actual body. So I think that's really important as well. And you have to, this is easier said than done, because our negative thoughts towards ourselves are so deeply ingrained, and they happen so much without us even recognizing them or knowing that they're there. But you have to challenge that mindset, and every time you catch yourself sort of saying, God, I look disgusting, or I look this, or I look that, or that's horrible, you know, anything negative like that, you have to catch it and twist it around. You know, it doesn't have to be like, oh, I went from saying that I hate my legs to like, my legs are the best thing ever, but change it to something really neutral, you know, like, well, wow, it's amazing that these get me through every single day, they carry me through every single day, isn't that incredible? And just, I don't know, God, I know I sound cheesy. I get cheesy and like grateful.
I get it, you know, though.
But this stuff helps, and it helps you to reframe how you see your body and to nip that negative mindset in the bud, because that's what perpetuates, you know, you hating your body, this like constant negative chit chat that goes on, that more often than not, we don't even know it's there, you know, because we're so used to it. So I think that's a really important one as well, and one that I'd say it would be good to look at, or even to just start thinking about. And think, like, again, this is cheesy, but like, would you say it to your sister or your mum or someone you love? Would you say the same thing to them, like, about your body? And if the answer is no, then you shouldn't be saying it to yourself either.
That's always the one that sticks.
We can be so cruel to ourselves, yeah.
Yeah. So cruel. Imagine if we said out loud the things that we say to ourselves. Imagine if we said them out loud to other people. It would be totally unacceptable, right? But it suddenly is acceptable when we say it to ourselves. And it doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I think that's a really good one to get into the practice of, for sure. I think it's important to learn as well about diet culture and why we're in the state we're in, as in why we all hate our bodies. Not all, but like why so many of us are dissatisfied with how we look, and learn about diet culture, and, you know, read. There's so many resources and incredible books to read about diet culture and consumerism and why it is where it is, and why we've all been brainwashed to believe that there's something wrong with our bodies. Because I think if we can get to the root of why, that helps us understand that it's all been a big lie, and we can start to unpick from there.
Do you have any kind of books that you would recommend for people?
Yes. So The Beauty Myth by Naomi Wolf is a really good one.
Yeah, love that one.
Yeah, that's great. Body Posy Power by Megan Jane Crabb is a really good one. Just Eat It by Laura Thomas is a fantastic book for those who are struggling with their eating as well. It's a book on intuitive eating, but it just kind of helps you realize how we've got so messed up with our eating and why so many of us have disordered eating. Stephanie Yeboah's book, Fatally Ever After, that's fantastic as well. And she's also someone really good to follow about dating as a plus size woman as well. She is great to follow for that as well. God, I can't remember. There's probably some amazing ones that I'm missing. but that's enough to begin getting on with. Yeah. One book that I absolutely love for people who suffer with binge eating is I Can't Stop Eating. And I've forgotten her name, and that's so bad. Oh God. But just Google it and you'll find out. But that's a really good one for people who, yeah, are suffering with binge eating. And I think that's it.
Because I know obviously our podcast is about relationships and things, and also I feel like that can include like your families. Do you have any tips for people? Because obviously it's Christmas and a lot of people now share that dread of like being back with their family who might make comments about their bodies. Do you have any kind of tips for that? Because I know my mum you know, when you were saying how you wouldn't talk about yourself like that, I mean, my mum, she'll be like Philadelphia Arrivita and being like, oh, I'm so fat today. Like, yeah. Jan, hun, you've had two cucumbers, calm down. But I feel like that is something that a lot of people, you know, comments from relatives and how, yeah. do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, just tell them to fuck off. I don't mean it, but I also kind of do, like, in a really nice way. But and this irritates me no end, because I cannot tell you the amount of people that come into my DM saying that they're devastated because their dad said this, or their sister said that, or their uncle said something. And it enrages me, because nobody has a right to comment on anybody else's body. Absolutely no one. And it's just, it's beyond, like, outrageous that people still feel like they can, but they do, and it happens. So yeah, how do you deal with it? But I think you have to be, like, brave and strong and set boundaries for yourself and understand that it's well within your right to fight back and put those boundaries in place to protect your mental health. And that's what really is the most important thing. So you can say, oh, I would rather not discuss my body, or you can, you know, and that's if someone says it in the moment. But another idea is if you're going home for Christmas and you're concerned about it, you can text whoever it is and say, you know, I'm really on a journey to, you know, healing my relationship with food and my body. And I would prefer if we didn't talk about either, to avoid any triggers. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of up to you how you deal with it and how soft or hard you want to go. But you're well within your right to stand up for yourself and say, please don't discuss my body. Please do not comment on my body. It's not good for my mental health. And also, you do not have any right to comment on my body. You can see it gets me irate. But yeah, but
I agree. It's good to call it out, because I also think, just to kind of teach people, because I do sometimes think it's a generational thing. And I know.
Yeah.
My mum's then seen stuff I've said online, and I can tell she's like, she doesn't do that again. So I think, do you know what I mean? I just think it's different. Like, obviously we're exposed to, my mum doesn't have, like, people like Alex. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, my mum has Rosemary Connolly.
Oh, poor Jan.
It's so true though, isn't it? They're not exposed to anything like anti-diet, and they totally grew up in that world, you know.
Yeah.
But they can't, you know, they, at the same time, they can't pass on their generational trauma to us, you know, and they need to learn for themselves. And, you know, they need to learn not just for our sake, but for other people in their life, you know, who they might be having the same conversations with. So I think you can be really gentle about it and really kind and considerate, but make it damn clear that it's not on, it's totally out of order.
Does that go both ways, in that, I know, like, a lot, I will overhear friends say to other friends, oh my God, you look amazing, have you lost weight? And it's like, even compliments in air quotes that are actually still about someone's weight, you need to be wary of those comments as well as outright negative comments too.
Yeah, well, even that, like, oh, you look amazing, have you lost weight? That's just so, that's just perpetuating the idea that, you know, looking good is tied into being thin and, you know, how little you weigh. And yeah, it's so true. That's like, you know, when anyone's lost weight, I'm sure they, like, know, but that's the first thing you say, oh my God, you look amazing. And then we, perpetuate this idea that then is so harmful to fat women, and, you know, and perpetuates that fat phobia as well, because it's not the reality. Like, your beauty isn't tied into, you know, tied up with how much you weigh. It's a myth. So I think it's really important. And also, you don't know what you're complimenting when you say, oh, you look lost weight, you look amazing. You have no idea what you're complimenting. And God, I talk about this so much online, and it gets misunderstood so much. People saying, oh, you hate when people lose weight. And it's not true, because everyone has the right to do whatever they want with their body. They have the right to lose weight, to gain weight. You do you, but refrain from commenting on it when it's someone else, because you have no idea what they did or how they lost the weight. And it doesn't, you know, it, your complimenting can actually end up doing damage to that other person.
I remember reading something in Dolly Alderton's book once where she said she was dealing with an eating disorder, and people were complimenting her saying, you look amazing. It gave her a reason to carry on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
She felt like, oh, it's working. I'm getting validation for what I'm doing, and I'm going to continue. And ever since I read that, I was like, I used to say things like that to people. I'd be like, you look incredible. And then now I'm like, oh God, someone was dealing with behind closed doors. Like,
right. And when, because most of the time people, after they lose weight, regain it. So when they do regain it, you know, how does that make them feel? Mm. You know, like chopped liver. Well, I was, you know, I was great when chopped I lost liver. Weight. And now I'm just chopped liver. Do you know what I mean?
That's very Slim Shady. He was the last person I heard to say chopped liver.
Before we go, I just have to say, you said you didn't know what twin flames were.
No. Should I?
So, I want to know if Dave is your twin flame. Paisley, can you give your brief explanation of that?
Oh, I feel embarrassed after the Saturn return fiasco.
Oh, no,
Paisley. Okay. I'm like the weirdo trying to make friends with the two cool girls. Can you just do it?
So a twin flame, basically a twin flame is a new, it's not the new cool thing, but everyone's talking about twin flames. And basically okay. It's kind of like, we decided it's like the one, but extreme. So your twin flame is the other half of your soul, as okay. allegedly a single soul can split into two after ascending to a high frequency, landing Christ. In two separate bodies. Jesus. Do you think Dave is your twin flame?
Absolutely not. No. No, not.
Okay. Well, there we go then.
I mean, I guess you didn't really expect, no, I don't really believe in the one and soulmates and stuff like that. So no, I don't think he is, no. But I like him a lot, so that's good.
Thank you so much for coming on, Alex. I've loved this. Where can people find you if they're not following you already, which they should be?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram at alexlight_LDN, which stands for London, not licensed diet nutrition, which came up recently as a slight problem. But yes, LDN stands for London. And on a podcast as well, The Light Show. Yeah.
Great.
Thank you so much for having
Thank
me.
You.
I've been really enjoyed this. Thank
I've
you so much.
I love this chat. I know. I feel like we're way over time, but oh well.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, James.
<I'm> rambling.
Sorry, James. Not at all.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, guys.
So, did you love Alex? I mean, you can't really say you didn't. Now I said that.
That's a leading question, I think you'll find. But no, of course I did. I think she's so articulate and like really generous for sharing her experiences as well. And I've already followed her and Stephanie now on Instagram.
Yes. I just feel like with Alex, I don't know, I feel like being a bigger person, I get annoyed with a lot of body positivity stuff sometimes because right. It can be so fake online. Like it can be. And it, you know, that thing of like, when I sit down, I have a roll. And when I stand up, it's gone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But Alex, like, she's so genuine. And the stuff, I feel like she really puts herself out there to help everyone else. Like, I really think she does. And she does so much research, like, into her posts. Like, there was one, it really went viral because she was talking about Bridget Jones and, like, actually how damaging, like, that is. And she's a huge, like, pop culture icon. But Alex is someone who genuinely makes me feel better about myself. And just being honest, in the body positivity space, that's like quite rare now.
Yeah. That's what I meant by her being generous about like taking time to like share and also educate. Because it's like a lot of emotional labour to have to dredge up like
trauma
you've been through.
Yeah.
And that just, I don't know, I think that's obviously a sign of someone really genuine. It's nice.
And also because... like for a lot of people, if they've kept it private, they've not heard anyone, they haven't got a friend, you know, like Alex is the first person and they want to tell all to her.
That's a lot to take on.
So yeah, I just love her. Well, I've been a creep now. Let's end it.
I'm glad it's this way around for once. I like it. This brings us to the end of this episode and actually to the last episode of the 2020 of Cosmopolitan's All The Way With. We'll be taking a short break. So I hope you enjoy saying goodbye to this kind of shitty year.
Sorry. But if you do just get sick of your family, we've spent, some of us, not everyone, has spent a lot of time with them this year. You can listen to any one of our episodes. So if you're back in your childhood bedroom, why not listen to a blowjob expert? We're where we've always been. But yeah, so that's what I'll be doing. But thank you to Alex for joining us and to you all for listening. If you have any sex questions or dating dilemmas, message us on Twitter or Instagram at CosmopolitanUK.
Cosmopolitan's All The Way With was recorded by Number 8 Studios remotely and is available to download on all the usual podcast apps.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.